Followers of Christ, message number three, and the title for today's message is What Good Things Must I Do to Inherit Eternal Life? If you could just look at the title, because title is the message, okay? And to that Jesus said, follow me, okay? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, follow me. Okay. I don't know whether you can see it. I found this picture. Rich, young, good Christian with a convertible car showing up before Jesus in, I guess, supposedly Jerusalem and asking the question, what good things must I do to inherit eternal life? I highlighted certain spots to show what I am trying to convey today. Okay, and the question is, what must I do for eternal life? Okay, what good things must I do eternal life? And Jesus said, nothing. In fact, for eternity, everything, perfection. That's the answer, okay? That's the answer. With given that, we want to talk about this. But I want to talk about, what is eternal life? Do you have one? Okay. What is eternal life? Do you have one? Obviously, the question is, how do I receive one? How do I inherit one? Okay. Do you have one? Okay. What is eternal life or salvation? What does that mean? I don't know whether you think like that. Usually, when people think of eternal life, they think of something that begins after you die. Some of you think that way, and I'm pretty sure that may be some of your way of thinking. Something that begins after I die. So salvation means a ticket, kind of ticket. Okay, I have a ticket, okay, because I have received Christ at one point of my life, and I think I have the ticket, okay? So my second question to you is in regards to this topic of eternal life is, when does eternal life begin? Okay. Does it begin after you breathe your last breath? Is that what it is? If you think like that, there's a strong sense in which we think of eternal life in quantity. Long life after that. Long life. Quantity as opposed to quality. Okay, but if you read the New Testament, the Bible, the word eternal life has been mentioned about 50 times, and 95% of the time, it is not about quantity, it is about quality. What does that mean? Okay, do you have eternal life? Eternal life begins now. And the question is, it's supposed to be perfect after you die, but not perfect now? Didn't Jesus say, the kingdom is in your heart? Didn't he say that? Right? So what does that mean? You have an eternal life. Do you have eternal life now? Okay. What is that supposed to look like? Are you hopeful or are you very, very sad all the time? Right? That's a valid question, isn't it? Are you very merciful to others, or are you very judgmental? How do you say you have eternal life? You may have the ticket, maybe, but you don't have the quality of eternal life. Okay? So I want to just begin with that, and I want to read a text that we read. It's such a famous story of rich young ruler story, and it's in three of the Gospels. Okay, Matthew, Mark, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, we call that Synoptic Gospels. And it is repeated three times, which means it's very important. There aren't a whole lot of stories that is written in all three Gospels, Synoptic Gospels. Okay, some of the things are written in all four Gospels, Johannine Gospel, which is altogether a different kind of Gospel, like temptation of Jesus, death and resurrection of Jesus. Okay, those are things that are written in all four Gospels. But other than those, Very few stories in the Bible are written, all three of them. And this is written in all three of them. Just kind of give you an orientation of how important this story is. Okay? And I want to show you again, this guy's rich and young. Looks like he worked out. He looks pretty thin. And I see some deltoid. I see everything, right? Rich, young, and he's a good Christian. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody like that? Very few, right? But if you think about it, rich, young, and successful, this is what people strive in every culture, every generation. I know you do too, okay? And this man came to Jesus and saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do, okay, to have eternal life?" And that was the question which has to do with salvation. Okay, salvation question. And there are only two places in the Bible where this question is explicitly mentioned. In Acts chapter 14, the Philippian jailer, after Paul and Silas was beaten by the people, and they were put into prison, and then there was an earthquake, and God released Paul and Silas, and the jailer will supposed be killed, so he tried to kill himself, and Paul says, "No, I'm here. And then the jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Only two places. So I think, very important question. Okay? And he said to him, Jesus said, "What do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. Only God is good. You want to do what good thing you must do to inherit eternal life? There is only one person who is good." He's saying, implying that you can't do anything. I think that's what he's implying, right? If you would enter life, if you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments, keep the law, keep the requirement of the law, and keep up with the heart of God. Follow God. That's what Jesus is telling him. And look at the way he responds. And then the rich young ruler said to Jesus, "Which ones?" Okay? I already sense he has a pretty high value of himself, I think. Which ones? Right? Otherwise, would you ask that question? And Jesus said, "You shall not murder." Number six. "You shall not commit adultery." Number seven. "You shall not steal." Number eight. "You shall not bear false witnesses." Number nine. "And honor your father and mother." Number four. Fourth commandment. And then the summary of all. "You shall love your neighbors as yourself." Okay? It's a little peculiar if you think about it. I have a couple of questions if you look at there. What happened to 1 through 4? Okay? Basically, 10 commandments is divided into two sections, two tablets and two sections. 1 through 4, I would say 1 through 5, has to do with your relationship with loving God. Vertical relationship of loving God. Okay? And 5 through 10 or 6 through 10, second tablet, has to do with your relationship with your neighbors. Okay? Loving your neighbors. Can they be separated? Can you do one without the other? No. Right? And the young man said to him, listen to him, "All these I have kept." All of it. Okay? "What do I still lack?" And that was his question. And Jesus answered him, "If you want to be perfect," you know what? That's his answer, you know? "Which one do I need to keep?" Perfection, everything. That's what God wants from every single one of you and from me. Okay? "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." We'll talk about this. And then the young man heard this. He went away sad or sorrowful, for he had great possession. Okay? You know this story really, really well. Okay? And a few things I want to just kind of mention. Okay? What do you think about this young man? He's a pretty bad guy? No. He is so humble and sincere. I sense. If you look at different versions of the Gospels, he came with a such sincere heart, kneeling down, asking this question, really wants to know, how do I be saved? How do I have eternal life? Which means, although he may be doing all these Christian things, but inside he does not have eternal life. Whatever that means, the quality of eternal life, not quantity of eternal life. We think quantity, but I think he was thinking quality. Do you have eternal life? Right? Do you have peace with people? Do you have peace with God? Can that be separated? I don't think so. Right? So, I want to just go right here. Okay, you know, Jesus, who's omniscient God, which means he knows all-knowing God, and in John's Gospel said he knows all men and what is in a man. Did you hear me? He knows all men and what is in a man. In other words, he knows every single one of you, and he knows every single thing about you. Not only your actions, external stuff, but deep stuff. Your motive, your intention, your desire, your propensity, everything. He knows you. And he loves you. Okay, that's Christianity. That's amazing. That's not a good combination. I mean, possible combination for us. Right? If you know he hates you, and you know he hates you deeply, how do you love him? Right? But that's who God is. So Jesus knew this young man. Okay, you are perfect with all of these? Okay, if you want to be perfect, you just lack one more thing. And this is one more thing. If you want to be perfect, one more thing. Go, sell, and give to the poor. Everything you have, give to the poor. And then come. And then you will have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. You know, for a long time, I was really blessed with this passage for years and years. And there are five verbs. Go and sell and give to the poor. And then you'll have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. Five verbs. Okay? Which one do you think is the important one? And all of them. But which one is the main verb and the most important one? It's follow me. It's follow me. Okay? But I want to explain something here as I was doing study this week. There's something very interesting. The go, sell, give, come, and five and follow, five verbs. But go and follow are present continuous verb. And sell and give is something that is done already verb. And come is adverb. Okay, I don't know whether you followed me. Okay. See, the first one, go, which means you need to continually go or continually depart, continually let down to continually follow. Do you get it? I think that was insightful. And something, selling and give is something in between that you need to do. And come is just an adverb, grammatically speaking, which means you need to come to follow him. Okay, that's all it means. So, a couple of things I want to mention. Here he mentions treasure. You will have treasures. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasures in heaven. Keyword. Treasure is the keyword. You know what? We all have treasures. And where is our treasure? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It's right here. Okay, and then he said, you'll have treasure, and then come and follow me. In other words, we follow what we treasure. Okay, we follow what we treasure. Okay, and the second thing I want to mention is go or depart or let down, let go to follow. In other words, unless you keep on letting go, you will not keep on following. Okay? Unless you keep on departing, you will not keep on following. Unless you keep on let go, you are not going to follow. Okay? That's what Jesus is saying. Okay? And in Mark's version, Jesus said this to that rich young ruler, not because he hated him. Oh, this cocky guy, very proud. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's not Jesus' attitude. Bible says Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Okay? I'm kind of looking at you right now. Jesus looked at him and loved him. You think about his gaze. And he loves you. And he's speaking to you. Follow me. But if you want to follow me, there's something that is stopping you. Okay? You're going to have to go and sell and give. And you'll have treasures. And then you'll be able to come and follow me. Okay? I want to think about just a few thoughts about this story. The question was, what must I do? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Which is a quest of humanity. Do you care about that question? Do you care about salvation? Do you care about eternal life? Do you know why you care? Because God has set eternity in your heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Meaning, there is something built in you. Every single one of you. Whether you say, I'm not or not, according to the truth and the Bible, God has set eternity in the hearts of all men. Koreans, Asians, Middle Eastern people, people in first century, people in 21st century, there is eternity set in you. In other words, that is the way we are made. That's why we seek after eternity. Do you get it? Right? We seek eternity. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay, the quest of humanity. Why? Because that's the way Creator placed eternity in us, and that's the way we are made. There are two problems, though. Okay, can I give you a biblical answer to that? We want to have salvation, but there are two main problems. One is God, and the other one is men. Okay, this is the theological question. One is God. Not that God is the problem troublemaker. Who God is our problem. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Two problems. God and men. Okay? Let me explain. The problem with the first problem is that what God wants is perfection. Okay? Not 99%. Okay? And I don't know whether this is a good illustration. If you were to swim from New York Harbor to London. Okay? I think some of you are a better swimmer than others. Okay, some of you just sink because you're too muscular, right? You're too dense. So you die right away. And then some of you may swim for an hour, and then you die. And then some of you may last maybe, okay, last one day you swim, and then you die. What's the difference? Do you get it? It's an impossibility. Whether you're a swimmer, better swimmer, even Michael Phelps, doesn't make any difference. Okay? He wants perfection. Why? Because he's holy God. He's not you. He's not me. That's who he is. And every sin, not 10,000 sin, every sin offend him just like 10,000 sin. You may not understand that, but if he's infinitely holy, one or 10,000 doesn't make any difference. It does not make any difference to him. He is a perfection. He's holy. He's perfect and just. Not, you know, 1 out of 10, but he wants 10 out of 10. Okay? That's who God is. Okay? So let me talk about the second problem. In light of that great God, the second problem is men, all of us. You know what? Jesus mentioned 10 commandments, skipping 1 through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then the summary, love your neighbors. Okay, only 5 of them. You know what? We're not able to keep up with all of them. Not only we cannot keep up with all of them, we cannot keep up with any of them. Any of them. Are you sure? That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible says. Let me just give you an example. Jesus said, do not commit adultery. Okay, that's 6th commandment. Anybody here, you could raise your hand. I'm perfect in that area. Could you raise your hand? I can't. You know why? Because Jesus, if you look at a woman, a lust in your heart, you have already committed your adultery. Adulterers. You guys are adulterers. I am adulterer before the eyes of God. What about murder? Do not murder, right? Did you kill anybody physically? Probably not. I hope not. But in your heart, if you hate your brother, you have already murdered someone. Anybody say, I've never murdered anyone? Can you raise your hand? Nobody. We're not only not able to keep up with all of them, but any of them. That's our problem. He wants perfection, but we cannot keep up with any of them. Do you understand that? Okay. And the greater problem is, not only we cannot keep up with any of them, but we do not want to keep up with any of them. Do you understand that? That's horrible. Not only we cannot fulfill and obey the commandment, any of them, but we do not want to. That's what the scripture says in the book of Romans. Sounds harsh, but the Bible says, we do not see God, we do not understand God, and we do not know God. We do not, okay? In fact, not only not capable, but we do not want to. We do not want to obey Him. By nature, at the core, according to the scripture, we want to rebel, self-glorify, rather than God glorifying. And we love to oppose God. And Bible says we are born as haters of God. Do you know that? Every single one of you. You are haters of God. And by definition, sinners, we are God. We want to be sit on His own throne. Okay? That's the biblical position. Now, second thing I want to mention is, but this young man, can we talk about this rich young ruler? Okay? He said, I kept them all. Okay, I kept all the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. He said, I kept them all. Can I just ask you, was he lying? I don't think he was lying. Right? Then what was happening? I think this was what was happening. Okay? He wasn't lying, but he was blind. Blind to what? I would say blind to everything. But started with blind to his own sinfulness. I think that's the first place. Blind to his own sin, blind to his own heart, blind to God, blind to everything, and blind to everyone else. That was his problem. Do you see that? The truth of the matter is, the diagnosis or the condition is, he couldn't keep up with any, not even one, right? But he was blind to his own sin. Let me just tell you something. Until you see your own sin, you're blind. You're impossible. You're detestable. You're wicked. Million sin of your life. You're blind. Okay? This guy was blind, and he was fatally blind. Do you see it? Do you see? Okay? Because until you see that, you do not understand mercy. You do not understand that. Okay? Because you don't. And the sad thing is, you could remain blind, but religious, because he was very religious. And you could be fatally blind, live and die as a blind person. Okay? I think that's a fair thing to say. That's why I was thinking, this song, right? Light of the world, you step down into darkness and open my eyes. And let me see, right? The beauty that made this heart adore you, love you, and hope of life spend with you. Sounds like he's ready to follow, doesn't he? Why? Because otherwise you get into trouble? No, but because he sees the beauty the mercy. Right? Eternal life, brothers and sisters. Eternal life we're talking about. King of all days, sovereign king. Right? Sovereign creator. Highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. But he humbly came, light of the world, humbly came to the earth you created. And you were spat on by the people you created. Does that make sense? And he actually lived that life of perfection, all Ten Commandments, into perfection. He did, right? He was perfect. And he took your place and died. Isn't that the gospel? That's the good work he did. What kind of good work can we do? Nothing. Why? Because there's nothing good in me, the Bible says. Nothing. Okay? So, what do we do? Here I am to worship. Here I am, I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. You're so worthy. You're so wonderful to me. How can I follow something else? You are so worthy. Then you will follow him. And that's eternal life. That's eternal life. And he's amazed. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Who's on that cross? Sovereign King, hanging on a tree. Unless Lord opens your eyes, you're blind. Blind to your sin, blind to God, blind to everything, blind to other people, you're blind to everything, fatally blind. Like this rich young ruler. Okay. Third, I want to talk about, so what did he do? He left because of his great position. And this is what follows right after that. And Jesus said to the disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, if you believe that, how many of you want to be rich? All of you. Right? If that's true, only with difficulty with a rich man enter into kingdom. In other words, you're going to be saved if you're rich. It's going to be very, very difficult, according to Jesus. How difficult? This is how difficult it is. I tell you, this is how difficult. It's easier for a camel, okay, picture a camel, real camel, to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into kingdom of heaven. Okay? So, Jesus is so, like, so good, I think. This expression is the Jewish colloquialism. In other words, this is Jewish way of saying impossible. Okay, that's what he's saying, impossible. How easy is it for a rich man to enter into kingdom of heaven? Impossible. Okay, there's a Persian expression for this impossibility, and it is, it's easier for an elephant to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man enter into kingdom of heaven. What would be an American one? Okay, I thought about, it would be easier for a buffalo to go through an eye of a needle, okay, than a rich man to enter into an eye of a needle. What would be a Korean one? Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Impossible, impossible. Okay, what is impossible? A rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, and yet you want to be rich, don't you? I do. I enjoy my rich. Right? Impossible, impossible. Can I just ask you? Okay. What about middle class person? Okay, many of you are middle class. Okay. You make certain amount of salary. Okay. What about a middle class person? It's a little easier? I think so. How much easier? I thought about, it's easier for a pig to go through an eye of a needle than a middle-class person to go through, get into kingdom of heaven. How about a poor person? Easier? How easy? It's easier for a little puppy to go through an eye of a needle. In other words, everything is impossible. It's all impossible. With men, everything is impossible. That's what Jesus is telling us. Okay? Who then can be saved? They said, who then can be saved? Right? And Jesus looked at them and said, with men, everything is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. That's the gospel. Right? With men, everything is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Your impossibilities. I am an impossible person. Only difference is, do you see it or do you not see it? Because unless you see it, you will never cling unto Him. I think that's the difference. Light of the world, He came, stepped into darkness, and opened my eyes so that I may see. You know the story of John Newton who wrote Amazing Grace? He was a slave trader. Okay, I read his story. And the slave ship used to catch Africans, and they put in a little cage with the shackles. And they sailed for 2 months to England. And he used to be the slave trader. And he recalls, half of them die in the ocean in 2 months. Little cage, like a little rat with the shackle. And they die, what do? Throw right away into the ocean. Half of them would die. And years he was a slave trader. He killed tens of thousands of people. But ironically, later on he became a slave. He actually became a slave. Ironically, somehow, he became a slave. And he was working in a slave trading ship. And one day, he was ready to eat, and the owner comes and put the food, not in a plate, but throw it on the floor like this, like a dog. You eat this, like that. And he was licking. He was so hungry. And then his eyes were opened. His wicked, destitute, wretched heart, his eyes were opened. That's why he said, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I was blind, but now I see. Okay? Now I see. I see who I am. Okay? Fourth, salvation. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you want salvation? And Jesus said, follow me. Discipleship. Here's my question. Is salvation and discipleship two things or one thing? Okay. Is it two things or one thing? I get the ticket. Is that enough? No. Not according to Jesus. Follow me. You will have treasures in heaven. Follow me. Jesus said last week, you must follow me. Do you agapao me? Do you love me? Do you love me with your will? Do you love me whether I am sick or healthy? Do you love me whether I'm poor or rich? Are you going to agapao me? Or are you going to just phileo me? Okay, with your emotion and passion. Do you agapao me? Jesus confesses his agapao love. Right? I agapao you with love of the cross. Follow me. Okay. I thought about, why is it so hard then? Okay. Seeing ministry from young kids, high school, college. I never did a youth group ministry in my life, but I started with a college group about 21 years ago. No, 25 years ago. College group for about 4 years. And then EM ministry. Now I do CAM ministry. So I kind of know from college students all the way to elderly. And the common thing is, they all say it is difficult. They all say it is difficult. Common thing, from college students all the way to elderly. And I thought about, why is it difficult? Why is it difficult? I think the key is the treasure. Let me illustrate, okay? I illustrated this in our women's discipleship yesterday. I'm married to Ellen. Okay, those of you who know Ellen. And I have trouble loving her. Oh, man. 28 years. Right? Oh. I have trouble loving her. And then trying to figure out why. And the truth, and the secret truth is, I have a girlfriend, a mistress. She's in her 30s. I was going to say 20s, but didn't feel right. 30s, so she's younger. And she's kind. She's pretty. She doesn't know. Okay? And I treasure her. So I kind of have a trouble treasuring her. I'm going to go a little step further, which is disgusting, but let me illustrate anyway. But the truth of the matter is, the secret is, I have three mistresses. One is in her 40s, one is in her 30s, and one is in her teens. Can you imagine that? She's younger than my daughter, but I am kind of in love with her. It would be such a disgrace to her, no? But I have three mistresses in my heart, in my life. Why is it so difficult? I'm just proposing. Maybe your heart, your treasures. Okay, I'm just proposing. Okay. You must let go continuously to follow continuously. Otherwise, we don't follow him. Okay? Present action imperative. Leave and follow me. Continue to leave, follow me. If you continue to leave, then and only then you will continue to follow me. Okay? I think that's how it works. Just one last thought. He walked away. You know, a lot of people walk away. Some of you will walk away. He, rich young ruler, walked away, although he had a great desire to know him, know how to be saved. A lot of us don't even have that. And he's a sincere man. He came to Jesus with sincere heart, great interest for the eternal things, the real things. When we don't even have that. And he was a pretty good Christian, at least on the outside, right? Better than a lot of us. And he heard the word of God, truth to him, with love. Go and sell and give. Come and follow me, son. That's all you need to do. Very close. And this morning I woke up. And the word Almost Christian came to my mind. I read that book a few years ago. Almost Christian. Can I ask you, is Almost Christian Christian? Probably you're struggling with that question. Let me ask you this way. Is Almost Husband Husband? Right? He will almost be saved, but not saved. Do you understand? You will almost be saved if you're almost Christian. Where do we begin? I think when we begin to see true condition of your heart. Unless you see your sin, my own sin, I am blind. I am fatally blind. Completely blind. You don't see anything. And the light of the world came because he loves you, and to open your eyes. To open your eyes. Let's pray.